Very thankful this morning that we have the privilege to come together and worship the Lord in freedom this morning. There are a lot of people that do not have that opportunity and that privilege. And further, I'm thankful that we can come together and worship the Lord in spirit and in truth today. And I count it as a great privilege that we have this morning to be able to have liberty in the spirit of the Lord. And my prayer and desire is that God would have liberty with His Word this morning. And I do ask an interest in your prayers, the burden that the Lord has been on my heart for quite some time, a message from the Spirit, and I'd like to share it with you this morning by the help of God. If you will turn with me to Revelation, the 5th chapter, and I've written on the board one body by the cross, and that is the crux of the burden. And there are some of these things this morning that the Lord would have us bring out that I know I don't want anything new. I know sometimes ministers get up and say, well, it's nothing new. And I'm thinking, that's good. We want something that's in the Word of God. And I know sometimes it's presented a little bit differently. But this is the foundation this morning. This is what we want to build our life on individually. And as a people this morning, it's the Word of God. What we teach and what we preach, it must go way beyond opinion. It must go beyond tradition. Tradition is good. There are good traditions. But what we believe and how we live must go down to something that's solid and fixed and is unchanging from generation to generation. And that is the Word of God. And that is why you can take this same Word to go to any people of any language, any nationality, and of any culture, and it's just as applicable there as it is right here among us. Over in the book of Revelation, 5th chapter, we'll begin reading with the 8th verse. The scripture said, when he had taken the book, the four beasts, better translated, the four living creatures, and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God. He was talking about Christ. You were slain, and we've been redeemed unto God by thy blood. Out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. I'm very thankful. What we see here in this passage of Revelation is a picture of part of the church of God. It's part of God's people. It's part of those that had been redeemed by what? By the blood of the Lamb. And they were there, and it said he had redeemed them by the blood of the Lamb out of every nation, kindred, and tongue. And they were around the throne of God giving him praise. It's a beautiful picture of God's people. They were redeemed by the blood. And again this morning, this is nothing new. And I'm thankful for that. But yet our redemption, we are in the body of Christ this morning only through the blood of Jesus Christ. We become part of God's church, not because of background, not because of our family name, but because we have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that is what makes us part of the body of Christ. It's those that have been redeemed through His blood. Over in Ephesians in the 2nd chapter, Ephesians chapter 2, we'll begin reading with verse 8. And to save some time, I'm going to skip down through a few of these verses. Because it's all good. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with verse 8. It says, for by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of what? Not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. In other words, lest any man say, I have earned my salvation, or I've done things just right, and that has brought my salvation. There are some people that hang their hat on one biblical doctrine, and they say, well, if I do this, then I'm saved and all right with God. Our salvation is a divine work of God. Our salvation is not of works. None of us this morning deserve salvation, did we? It was because we brought our unworthiness. We brought our brokenness. We bring our humanity and bring it to the Lord. Salvation is a gift. And it was a gift to all people. It's why the angels, when they appeared to the shepherds, they said, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. It was a message to all people. Salvation was not exclusive to one nationality. Salvation is not exclusive to one tongue. But salvation is a universal gift to people through all generations of time. Since Jesus came, salvation has been offered. It's not of works. And then some sit back and say, well, I'm saved by grace, so I can just go out and live how I want to live. Let's read the next verse. He said, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are His workmanship. In other words, God did something in me. I'm not designing or planning my own salvation. But this is a gift of God, but now we're His workmanship, He said. In Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Our works do not save us. Our works do not redeem us. We are redeemed by nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. It does not matter what we've done. It doesn't matter where we've been. And we're going to get to this a little bit more later on. But I want us to understand, it does not matter what our church history or church background has been. Salvation is through nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. And when we bring ourselves to Him and are redeemed by the blood, it doesn't mean I can go sin saying I'm under grace. But the grace of God was sufficient to bring about a change in our life that we can go and not sin anymore. Not by our own power, but by the divine work of God. But we're created unto good works, which means we're not saved by good works, but a lack of them can sure unsave us. Because if we're really saved, then there's going to be fruit that comes out of our life. Let's read on. In verse 12. And here He was speaking to the Gentiles. And as you are aware, you Bible scholars, understand that there was a separation between the Jews and the Gentiles. The Jews were God's chosen people, and God had dealt with them. But there were also, I think, especially about the Samaritans who worshiped God. They accepted the writings of Moses. They accepted that. And so they had a form of worship to the God of Israel, but they didn't accept all the prophets that came afterward. And that is the reason why, remember, when Jesus met with the woman at the well, He said, some say it's in this mountain, some in that mountain. The Samaritans had their own temple. Some said it's in Jerusalem, and some said it's here in the temple of the Samaritans, but Jesus was saying it's neither one of those now. He said the Lord God is looking for those. The hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers would worship in what? In spirit and in truth. It's not about the temple of the Samaritans, nor is it about the temple at Jerusalem. The Lord is looking for spiritual worship where there will be a people that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. But there was a great alienation between the Jews and the Samaritans. They were kind of first cousins, really. And a division then between the Jews and the Gentiles. And Paul was addressing that because the message of salvation came to the Gentiles as well, didn't it? The scripture says in John 1, He came unto His own, speaking of Christ, and His own received Him not, but to such as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. So He came to all people, and all it took was an open heart saying, Lord, I accept You as my Savior. Wash me in the blood of Jesus, and it brought a change. And so now there was still this suspicion between the Jews and the Gentiles. We've been God's chosen people all along. And you all have been living after the flesh, and all of a sudden Gentiles are getting saved. And they started looking at each other with a little bit of suspicion. And so Paul was addressing that. He said that at that time, speaking out of verse 12, ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in other words, you Gentiles, you were separated. You were part of God's chosen people. But he said, but now. And I am so thankful for the but now. Because if it had not reached down to we Gentiles, how many of us would be here this morning? But he said, but now, in Christ Jesus, ye were who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. He hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished the enmity, even the law of the commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Jesus, he came and he broke down the middle wall of partition between Jews and Gentiles, that they would all be reconciled to God through no one but Jesus Christ. So does this pertain to us today? The message of salvation came to all people. Amen? Jesus came to break down the middle wall of partition between people of all nationalities and backgrounds and histories and traditions, that they could all be reconciled into one through Jesus Christ. That he might reconcile, verse 16, both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that are nigh. In other words, to the Jews and the Gentiles. However much understanding of the law, Jesus came to everybody to make one body by the cross. This morning, God still has one body. Is that still true? There's one body by the cross. And I know, and Lord, and I appreciate you young people that you here this morning. I appreciate the body of Christ. I appreciate this freedom that we have here this morning. And I believe the Lord wants to renew and revitalize our vision and our understanding of what the body is. The body of Christ goes way beyond these four walls this morning. The body of Christ goes beyond the people that I know or that you know. The body of Christ are those that have come to the cross by the blood of Jesus Christ. The body of Christ includes everyone from generation to generation all over the world that has repented of their sin and is walking in newness of life. That's the body of Christ this morning. And I know sometimes people come, and I know all of us are faced with these questions, and they say, who are you? You know, what church do you go to? What is our response? What do we say? We say, well, we're non-denominational. Do we even know what that means anymore? I want to preach where we live, saints. We're not, a denomination is a group that is autonomous from the Christian world. In other words, they have established their own group. The Lord doesn't want us to be interdenominational, but I'll tell you what the Lord wants us to continue to know and understand in our perspective of the body, is that the body of Christ is by the cross. And where we have true fellowship this morning is not just because I knew your grandparents. It's not just because we all got the same paper in the mail. It's not just because we came within four walls. The unity of God's people is found by the cross of Jesus Christ. Because it's the only way to salvation. Jesus said, I am the door. No man entereth in but by me. Folks, salvation is not of man this morning. Salvation is not because I was born into a saint family and I've come to the Church of God chapel all my life. I still need to be born again. I'm not part of God's church until I've had a born-again experience, until I come to the cross. And when I come to the cross and I repent of my sin, it makes a change in my life. Now this goes beyond saying I'm a Christian, because most Christians in our world, most systems of religion teach that you just go on in your sin. But when we truly come to the cross, there's a change. When we come to the cross, we're born again. Jesus told Nicodemus, he said he must be born again. He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see what? The kingdom of God. It takes a spiritual birth. But there is one body by the cross. And we say, how is that? Because we look around, and I don't know how many churches there are in Guthrie, but I know you don't have to go very far. Church on, it seems like some places you go, there's one on almost every corner. I wish I could remember, there's a little town close to where we are that has a population, it's either 150 or 300. And there are so many congregations, different chapel buildings in that small area. And we say, wait, Brother Michael, you're saying one body, and I'm saying that's what the Bible says. He says there's one body. So what does this mean? The body of Christ is everyone that's by the cross. And many people that are professing the name of Christ, unfortunately, are not by the cross this morning. Jesus said, whoever nameth, let him that nameth the name of Christ, rather the apostle did, depart from what? Depart from iniquity. So if I say I'm a Christian, I'm part of God's church, but there's still sin in my life, I really haven't come to the cross. That's right. But there is still one body this morning, and I know there is a danger. And again, I appreciate our heritage. I appreciate this wonderful freedom. I wouldn't want it any other way. But I'm also aware of the fact that when God sends a move of truth amongst a body of people, over the years, traditionally, things tend to start stagnating. And you can just study church history and find that. I don't want to lose the vision this morning. I don't want to lose the reality of the truth that the body is by the cross. That there's one body by the cross. There's not two. God is not a polygamist. He has one wife. And it's the body of Christ. It's the church of God. But then who is the church of God? What's the scripture say the church of God is? The church. Acts chapter 2, verse 47. On the day of Pentecost, Acts 2, 47. He said, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Isn't that wonderful this morning? Do you know, man? Man can't put you in the church and man can't kick you out of it. I've heard of people saying, well, the ministers kicked me out. What did they kick you out of? But the church of God are those around the cross of Christ. The church of God are those that have been born again, have been transformed in their minds and in their spirits and in their hearts. And when you find carnality and you find strife and you find jealousy and envy and you find bickering and contention, you can understand that something's not by the cross. Something's not by the cross, but at the cross is where the blessings are. Young people, don't be afraid of the cross this morning. Don't be afraid when the Lord calls for something in your life. Know that that's where the blessings are. That's where the power is. And when people say, where's the anointing? Isn't like it used to be. My question is, what about in our individual lives? If we will get close to the Lord and stay at the cross, there is still anointing of the Holy Spirit. There is still power to live godly in this present evil world. But I can't do it in my own strength. We heard that last night. It takes a divine work of God. I am daily in need of God's grace. Amen. But it's found at the cross. And that's where the body is. And that's what enables us to come together like this and enter into fellowship and worship when we're meeting at the cross. That's the body of Christ this morning. Those that have been transformed, the body is not by anything else but the cross of Jesus Christ. Ephesians, here in the book of Ephesians, still in the third chapter, I'd like to read a passage. Said, for this cause, in verse 14, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, he said, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. We say, well, what is this body that we're talking about? What is the name of that body? You know, there is a reason this morning that we identify ourselves with the name Church of God. There is a reason for that. And it goes back further than 50 years. It goes back further than 120 years ago. It goes all the way back to what we are taught in the Word of God. This passage says, speaking, I bow my knees unto the Father. He didn't say, I bow my knees to Christ here. He said, I bow my knees to the Father, the ultimate power of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. In other words, we are named after the Father. And that's why when you read the Scriptures, when many times in Paul's writing, he addresses the congregations, he addresses them unto the church of God at Corinth. Or unto the church of God at Guthrie. Unto the church of God at... We are named after the Father. So when people said, well, who are you and what are you? You say, well, church of God. And they say, well, where did that come from? There are many scriptures that you can show to people where that came from. If we are to add another name to it, we begin to take away from the power and the glory that God wanted Himself. Let me give you an example. If we said, well, someone said, well, who are you? And I said, I am a Wesleyan. I go to the Wesleyan Church. Do you know who comes to my mind when I think of Wesleyans? And I'm not picking on Wesleyans either, but I want to be specific. I want you to understand what I'm saying. I think of John Wesley. Yeah. I think of the message of sanctification, and all of a sudden it's like, yes, wonderful truth. Wonderful history, wonderful heritage. A kind of a patriarch as the Lord restored truth to His people. The Lord used him. Well, if someone said, well, I'm a Lutheran. Well, thank God for Martin Luther. For how the Lord used him at that time. Well, I don't know how you want to call it. Lutherans, Wesleyans, Warnerites. What do you mean by that? Well, Brother D.S. Warner, the Lord used him again to help, and other ministers at that time, to help restore some truths that had been lost and obscured by darkness, and the Lord used them in a wonderful way. We have a wonderful heritage this morning. But that's not who we are. That's not our name. We are identified with the Father. And if we begin to lift up and exalt anything but the cross, we're going to start losing the anointing and the power and the purpose that God has for us to fill as a body of people. There is one body by the cross. And again, we have a wonderful heritage, saints. And I think we do well to study it. And to know it, because what it does is it helps us understand some of these issues that still come up today. We can look back and see how the enemy worked at different times through history and can help us know how to handle some things today. But the foundation of this movement of people that is here this morning, it didn't start 120 years ago. If it did, do you know what that makes us? Warnerites, or just another church, another group among groups, another people. But saints, we have a greater heritage than even that. We have a greater heritage than even all of our spiritual forefathers from 120 years ago, or 50 years ago, or 1,000 years ago. We go all the way back to the day of Pentecost, when the Lord added to His church. What was the church? Those that are saved. Which means who is the church? It's everybody that's been washed in the blood. Have you all seen Guthrie doesn't have a sign? Is there a sign out here? Okay, sorry. I couldn't remember. I know a lot of church signs amongst the saints, and I'm going to say out of the saints. There's a little phrase at the bottom of the sign. And it says, and I know at the old chapel it was on it, I believe, Brother Leslie, said where salvation does what? Where salvation makes you a member. Now, you don't have to answer me, but I would just like to ask us a question. Do we believe that this morning? A quiet amen to that? The body of Christ. The body of Christ around the cross. This is what salvation does. Salvation is what makes us a member, because I can come and sit amongst you all, and I can be warmed by your fire, and I can have a last name that maybe you knew my parents and my grandparents, but that doesn't save me. That doesn't make me a member of the church that is named after the Father, the Church of God. What makes me a part of the Church of God is truly salvation. And I want to remind us this morning in love that you young people understand the Church of God is not just another church. The Church of God is not just something that, you know, we have this belief system and this is just kind of what we've decided. This is something that is divine. It's something of God. It's something that rises above the institutions of man. It was ordered by the Lord, and the only way to get in is through the blood of Jesus Christ. And everybody that enters by way of the blood, and again, I'm speaking truly, I'm not saying by perfection. I'm saying those that have been redeemed and born again, it brings forth the fruit of what in their life? The fruit of holiness. I've cast off the works of the flesh, and now there's fruit of holiness and purity and godliness. Why? Because I came to the cross. And when I came to the cross, I found other people that had entered by the blood. And that was the body of Christ. Which means that everybody that's here this morning that has entered in through the blood, you're part of the body of Christ. You are the church of God. That is what the church is. That's why we are named what we are. That's why we identify it. The Lord does not want us to be identified by anything but His Son, Jesus Christ. And I know sometimes we feel a need to start identifying a little closer in this, but folks, we want to be identified by the presence of God. We want to be identified by the freedom and the liberty and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We want to be identified by the love of Christ. We want to be identified by the fruit of the Spirit, because that's Christ. And I don't want to get so comfortable and get stagnant that we become just another movement. We've been around for a while and we're not, maybe we don't see a lot of growth. And maybe it seems like a lot are going this way and that way. But folks, this is something divine this morning. And Lord, help to take the veil if through time and stagnation and through the enemy working and some divisions and splits that have occurred through compromise and fanaticism through time. Lord, help us to keep our vision of the church. Lord, help us to remember and to know in our perspective that there is still one body, and it's by the cross. We are children of God by faith. We're children of God through faith this morning. And that there's a passage of Scripture that addresses that in the book of Galatians. Book of Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 verse 26. It says, "For ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." So what are you this morning? Who are we? We're children of God. That's who we are. No, I know that, but you know, everybody, who are you really? What church are you? Church of God. Yes, but which one? Church of God. What does that mean? Then we need to have the reason. We need to have the background. We need to know what the Bible says. The church of God is everybody. The one body that is entered by the blood to the cross of Jesus Christ. You know, there are people that are church of God and they don't even know it. Thank God for that. God, there is an innumerable host at the judgment of God. I want to see you, and I want you to see me. When we stand and when we get up to heaven, I want you to say, oh, there's Michael. It's like, oh, there's brother so-and-so. There's sister, she's been faithful. But I want to see you amidst an innumerable multitude. That's what the scripture talks about. He talks about the 144,000 revelation that is representative of the Old Testament, the New Testament church. But he said, but then he beheld. See, he beheld an innumerable company of people around the throne of God. Where did they come from? Who are these people? I didn't know them. They came through great tribulation. They came through the blood. They came to the cross. And they were part of the body of Christ. Let's read on. Galatians chapter 3. He said, for as many as you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now this again, remember, it's not just talking about profession. This is talking about the reality of a divine experience. And he said, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ. Now understand, I'm still a Gentile. I'm still a man. He wasn't taking away that identity. But he said, in a spiritual sense, we're not divided by that anymore. In a spiritual sense, we are all one in Christ. There is an equality of salvation to all people. One in Christ. It doesn't mean that I have liberty to act any other way than a man should act. There are some that have taken this scripture and said, well, we're just all one, so it's all the same. No, I'm still a Gentile, and I'm still a man. If I got up here and started acting like anything but a man, it wouldn't be right. I'm still a man. I'm to conduct myself like one. I'm to act like one. But in the eyes of God, in salvation, we are one in Christ. It was to all people. And I'm thankful for that this morning. I'm thankful that we are heirs of promise. Thankful that we all have access to that this morning. Mention being born of the Spirit. When we open up our heart and come to the cross, and we are born of the Spirit of God, it's what makes us part of God's church. So we say, well, who's in the church? Because, you know, even in the time of Christ, there was a mixed multitude that followed him. There's a struggle. You know, I understand, maybe some of you all can relate to, but there's a struggle that people have sometimes when they look on and they say, well, where is the church? You know, because I look at this congregation and there's a mixed multitude. And I look over here and there's people going, they've been going to services there for years, and I see how they're acting, and I see how they're living, and I don't see holiness, and I don't see anointing in their life, and we start getting confused. If it was the church, then it seems like that wouldn't be there. But saints, this was in the time of Christ as well. There was a mixed multitude that followed Christ, and not everybody received his teaching. I want people to keep coming. But I also, when the Word of God is taught in its fullness, there comes a time that a lot of people aren't going to accept it anymore, and they're going to walk away. And I want to encourage us, especially the ministers this morning, preach the Word. Amen. Preach the Word of God. And when you find that there is a resistance to it, and now if it's opinion and it's just your personal things, then we need to bring that back to the altar. But when we're preaching the Word of God, and we're preaching truth and holiness and godly living, and people, established families that have been in congregation, nations for many years start bucking up against that, and there's a tendency to start not, don't want to cause any waves now, so we kind of start to muffle the ministry, that's where we start losing power with God. But don't be discouraged this morning when we look around and we see that maybe not everybody's where they ought to be. The church are those that are saved, and as long as there is a functioning, anointed ministry that is preaching and living truth, then be there to support that. And back that up. And don't be dismayed when you see some that aren't living like they ought to live. Christ dealt with that as well in His time. Jesus, the scripture said in 2 Corinthians, Paul said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creature. Folks, that's the church. New creature. And that means then, and I was raised in amongst the saints. I was raised with godly parents. I was raised in a godly congregation. I was raised with a godly pastor, and I appreciate it. But do you know where the devil works when you're blessed like that? Is that we can just start getting comfortable because this is who we are, and I go to church here because it's more background history. Rather than recognizing that the body of Christ is by way of the cross. And if I don't come to the cross, I can still be a good person, kind of fit in and dress like everybody else, kind of fit into the group, and everybody thinks, oh, Brother Michael. But folks, if I don't come by way of the cross, I'm not part of the church of God. I'm not part of the family. There's going to be some alienation. And then if I'm not careful, I'll start to look at other saints and say, y'all just start accepting me. And for some reason, you're rejecting me. And sometimes, that might be a result of the problems in my life that I haven't come to the cross. Because that's where we're reconciled. That's what brings us together in unity, is by way of the cross. We need to have that born-again experience. And you all know this, but where is the roll book for the church membership of the Church of God? Where is it kept? It's kept in heaven. Lord, help us to understand the reality of that. Because what the problem with keeping a church roll book is, you come along and say, okay, you're a member of the church, and you write your name down, and then you go out and sin, but the enemy has caused people to find this security blanket that I'm a member of the church. My name's on the church book. God's the one keeping the roll this morning. And God knows where we are. He knows if we're at the cross or not. But that's where the body is. It's at the cross. And we are to rejoice because our names are written in heaven. Now there is a theme. And you pray for me. The Lord would help us to get the burden out that He's put on our heart. There is a theme that has been a theme of this Reformation. And that theme is, we reach our hands. Someone know where we're going? We reach our hand in fellowship to who? To every blood-washed one. Where did that theme come from? Why did that become a theme of this Reformation, this body of people? It was because people years ago got a vision of this truth that we're looking in the Word of this morning. They got a vision of that. They got a vision that there's really one body. And we go around and there's this church and that church and this church. And then you get a look at that and think, wait, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says that we're one in Christ. The Bible says that there's one body. And so they begin to preach a message of unity. They began to preach a message of unity, that God does not have all these churches. He has one church, and it's by way of the cross. One body. Folks, this message, this scriptural truth is still applicable today. And Lord, help us as we understand it more, that we will be sure in our spirits that we not just have the theme memorized, but that our spirits are, we really do extend our hand in fellowship to every blood-washed one. That we really do this, that this is a reality, that those that are washed in the blood can come, brother in the Lord. Because remember, those that are blood-washed, there is purpose and desire to serve God. Not everybody has understanding of all truth. But if they're saved from sin, they're in the church of God. Now, they're not in a position to be in a place to teach and preach because they're still coming to the unity of the faith. And that's why God gave the ministry, to preach and to teach and to instruct. But as a people, as a body, as a congregation, as part of this body by the cross, Lord, help us to truly in our spirits be able to reach our hand in fellowship to every blood-washed one. It's what the Word of God teaches us, saints. And there's a blessing there. And I know the devil works with this because the enemy tries to make us afraid. But you know, when we build our life on truth, the congregation, this fellowship, do you recognize that as we are part of that body, we don't have to be threatened by what other people are doing? When people come among us, we don't have to feel threatened if we are solid and stable, teaching and preaching truth in God's Word. We don't need to back down on it. We don't need to let up on it. We don't need to add to it. We can preach it like it's in the Word, and it will minister, and it will reach out to people. Some will accept it, and some will reject it. But that we would be mature enough this morning, that as a body of people, I believe there's some areas the Lord wants us to mature a little bit, not to lose the vision of why we're even here this morning, of what brought this to pass, of the fellowship of congregations that we have. How did that happen? When you go way back and trace it, you're going to find it's people that came by way of the cross. And they met other brethren that were at the cross, and they said, there's fellowship. Why? Because we came through the blood. Because we came through the blood. And that is the unity that the Lord is still looking for today. But see, the devil tried to hijack that message of unity, didn't he? This ecumenical spirit that, oh, we're all one, so the Baptists and Methodists and Wesleyans and all that, we can just all come together at times and just all, we're all headed the same place. The devil hijacked that message. The message of unity, though, is a biblical, scriptural message. And just because the devil tried to hijack it, I don't want to distill it from God's people. The message of unity of a one body by the cross is still there today. It's still what the church is. So, Lord, help us to understand the difference. People that start looking at all different faiths and doctrines, it's what our world is doing, the religious world. You find Catholics, in Muslims, in others, in many places, it's happening in our country, in our political system as well, honoring each other and saying we're all headed, you know, the same place, and we all have. Jesus said there is one way. It's a narrow way, it's a way of holiness. The message of unity doesn't go very far unless it's coupled with the message of holiness. Because a unity, true unity around the cross is through a life of Christ-like holiness and divine purity in our lives. Well, people that just want to say, let's be in unity, what is our unity based on this morning? Our unity must go beyond common background. Our unity must go beyond, because, you know, I know probably, I'm not saying I know everybody here, but if you just look around, don't we all pretty much know each other? And that's a blessing. And I don't want people getting on to the saints for that. That's wonderful. In the love of God's people, that's another identifying factor, is it? That's good. But I like to meet people I've never met before. People that have come by way of the blood. And that we can have fellowship at the cross of Jesus Christ. And we don't need to be threatened, saints. When people come that you don't know and that I don't know, we don't need to be threatened. We don't need to all of a sudden put up our barriers. But rather, if we're around the cross, we ought to be able to open up our arms and love and accept the spiritual babies that come. Would feel welcome and not feel like everybody's looking down on me because I didn't know your grandpa.
But no, rather that they find a place of warmth and love. Because as the church, this is not a denomination. This isn't about these four walls. This is about that we came to the cross. We came to the cross, and we want the Word of God to have preeminence. And I want to meet you there, and I want to fellowship you, and I want people to be able to look on my life and your life and as a body of people and say, those people really do reach their hands in fellowship to every blood-washed one. It's more than a kind of a catchy little poetic saying. They mean that. May the Lord help us this morning and renew our vision of that. There's so much that could be in, Lord bless us. This was the message that Paul preached to the Galatians and to the Jews. There's one body. This was the message that was preached after so many divisions and splinters among professing Christians. And that's where all these different churches and systems evolved from. Then the Lord renewed that vision and that light that there is one body, and it's by the cross. It was the theme of this Reformation. There's a lot of history that we could go into. But the message was not unique to a man. It was based on Scripture teaching. Over in the 18th chapter of Revelation, where he said to come out from among her, talking about Babylon, talking about all these systems of religion, and the message was, come out of those. Come out of those, but come where? Are we supposed to say, come to me? Come to us? The question I have is, who is us? Come to the cross. Come out from these systems of man. Come out from all these religions. I remember, and I've heard it so many times on singing tape. Maybe some of y'all have heard it. But I remember Sister Catherine Williams. She was giving her testimony, and I don't know what group she used to be a part of. Maybe some of y'all know, it really doesn't matter. But I remember her testimony. And she was testifying, and she said, the other day I was in town, and she said, I saw the bishop of where I used to worship. And he said, Sister Catherine, he said, where are you worshiping? And she said, I'm worshiping the Lord, and I'm free. And he said, you mean you don't have, the bishop's not telling you what to do? And you're, no, I'm free in the Lord, she said. Do you know that's the body of Christ? The scripture says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? There's liberty. Liberty to do what? Liberty to do whatever I want? No, liberty to follow the Lord in holiness and purity. And there's power found to do it. One of the other identifying marks of God's people around the cross is that we don't have a ministerial assembly telling us what to do. It's not man rule, it's led by the Spirit. That God has placed the ministry in positions of spiritual authority to instruct and to guide and to direct. But that authority is only as strong as it is founded by way of the cross, where it's founded in truth. And we are to honor and respect. We're living in a very independent age, aren't we? I hope this is all right. We live, especially Americans, I guess as people in general, but our whole philosophy is independence, isn't it? And that can creep down into areas of life sometimes. The Lord wants us to be careful. Free in the Lord doesn't mean that I can just do whatever I want to. Lord, help me to be submissive to God's way. And use not your liberty as what? Yeah, or as a cloak of use not your liberty as an occasion to the flesh. That I can say, well, I'm free and I'm under grace, so I can live how I want, I can go where I want, I can listen to what I want, I can dress like I want. Yes, you can do all those things, but understand, around the cross of Christ, there is truth and there's word. The Word of God will start changing my natural inclinations. It will bring me in to the image of Christ. And that is a journey. That is a process, but that transformation of our spirit is an instant work of the Lord when we're saved. Well, there's a place I believe the Lord would have us to give honor. And if you will allow me, that there would be greater honor and respect given to those that are ministering the Word of God to us.
that the Lord would help us to give respect for the sacrifice. In respect, you say, well, that's, yeah, I know, bro. Brother Philip, can I use you as an example? Is that okay? I'm not going to get. Well, that's Brother Philip. I know his family, and I knew his mom and his dad, and I knew. Well, that's just Brother Philip. But you recognize the family connection, that's all right. But there's a place then that a minister called of God. It's not just family and this familiarity that a lot of us have with each other. This is ordained of God.
That's right.
This message, the Lord sent this message through Brother Philip. God gave it. And so it's due respect not to say, well, that's Brother Philip, that's mine. That's my brother, that's someone I work with. That was, the Lord sent that.
Yeah.
And there is a great respect and an honor that the Bible teaches us. And that's not the crux of my burden. But Lord, help us. But the other side of that is that we are free in the Lord. And we are free and we're not bound to a group of ministers. You don't need the minister to go home with you and give you the list and follow you around and say, do this and don't do that and not. No. Because we're free moral agents. And the Lord is looking for people to serve Him because of what? Of love. Lord, I'm doing this because of love. But when the minister gets up and warns me that this is a wrong way to go, or maybe he doesn't say it's sin, but this is a gray area. You know, not everything is black and white. There are gray areas. There are. Some people say, well, you're saying if I do that, I'm not saved. And you get this little, you know, attitude with it. Do you know what I'm talking about? I said, no, I'm not saying you're not saved, but it's dangerous.
Yeah.
You watch people that have gone that route and it ends up taking them away from the cross. Their testimony that they're giving to the world, their light is dim until there's no light at all.
Amen.
So love those that are living in the gray areas this morning. But Lord, help us not to live in those areas. I don't want to see how close to the world I can get. I want to see how close to the cross I can get. I want to see how close to God I can get. And not always just, there are some people, and I say it in love, but it seems like they're just pushing the limits on about everything. Parents, have you ever found that? It's like the children get, it's just pushing the limits. It's on everything. It's like, Lord, help us to get close to the cross. Because that's where the power is. Would you give me a little more time this morning? The scripture speaks in Isaiah in the 4th chapter. I tell my children, they talk about how long the preachers preach. You know how that is, young people. And I said, well, if I start and the Lord gives a message on the church, you might as well just sit down, put your seatbelt on. On Isaiah in the 4th chapter, in the first verse, it said in that day, it was a prophecy. But he said, in that day, 7 women shall take hold of one man saying, we will eat our own bread, we will wear our own apparel, only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. You know, we're seeing that today. Just because we go under the name of Church of God, does that make us Church of God?
No.
If the holiness and purity and godliness, if we're not at the cross, we can put any name on the sign we want, but it doesn't change what's going on in here. In that day, 7 women will take hold of one man, saying, let us be called by thy name. We want to be called by the name of the Father, because we know that's the right name. But we want it to take away our approach, but we're going to do it our own way. We're going to eat our own bread. We're going to wear our own apparel. We're not going to let you really be a husband to us, but we just want your name to take our reproach away. Do you know this morning that we can look back many years ago and say that's what happened with all these denominations? But I'm going to get a little bit closer to home this morning. This has happened among Church of God groups. Do you know how many Church of God groups, people, the groups there are that call themselves Church of God today in this country alone? I don't know the exact number, but I do know that there are well over 30, if not more, just among the Church of God people that we have a common history. I'm not even talking about the other church of Pentecostal Church of Gods. I'm talking about Church of God people that stem from the Reformation in the 1880s. There are well over 30. different groups that are not in fellowship with one another.
And we say there's one body by the cross. No, the scripture says that. So what makes us any different?
The only difference is if we can maintain our vision of that true church. And we can maintain and allow the Spirit of the Lord to have liberty among us. That we can walk in love and let the fullness of the Word of God still be paramount amongst us.
I want to be identified as God's people. It's how I want to live. I want to lift up Christ. But when God, the scripture in Isaiah, I believe it says, I am the Lord, that is my name. And my glory will I not give to another. Anytime a people or a group begins to exalt a ministry, begins to exalt their background, begins to exalt things other than Jesus Christ himself, the glory of God is going to begin to lift up. This is where the power is found. This is where the body is. And so then we say, so what's the answer? Does that mean everybody needs to just all come back together? No, that's not what that means. That's what the Lord wants. But he wants it done at the cross. Unity, saints, true unity is not found by us going in the back room and hammering out our differences and saying we're all going to be in unity. Because we can be in unity of family. We can be in unity because we have a common history of congregations that fellowship this congregation and not that congregation. Isn't that the way it is? Unity can be found on that basis, but that's not true unity. True unity is found at the cross, through the blood, the Word of God having preeminence, and the Spirit of God having liberty. And so then if I come to the cross and I start to take the scripture, say, well, you know, I think it's okay. You can divorce and remarry and go remarry while you have another living companion. We'll just, you know, that's okay. And I'll just go, I can dress a way that I can dress immodestly and I'm not going to really hold that anymore. But I have a lot of other similar doctrines. Is there unity in that? There's a unity of the faith too, isn't there? There's unity of the Spirit and there's unity of the faith. There are some people that you can have unity of the faith with that you don't have unity of spirit with. They've got the doctrine down. But if there's not a Spirit of Christ, a Spirit of love, it puts a breach in the unity. And there are others that have a good spirit, but they're not there in the faith. We extend our hand in fellowship to every blood-washed one. But I want to clarify something if it's been a question. There is a difference this morning in extending our hand in fellowshipping someone's salvation and fellowshipping a system that is not right. That's right. Someone can get saved in the Baptist church. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Amen? Amen? They just entered in the church of God. They didn't even know it. That's wonderful. But I want to say it's difficult to stay saved. See, if they really repented of their sin, but it's difficult to stay saved where false teaching is. Because you're being fed that we all sin more or less, and pretty soon, the very salvation, you'll lose it because you're hearing things that are not true. You're hearing things that are not right. Well, there is also a difference in extending our hand in fellowship and accepting someone's salvation. That doesn't mean they're qualified to fill a place of leadership in the church. There have been divisions and splits amongst us that have been very hurtful. And my prayer is that one day we can come back. Come back to the cross.
And be in unity. That's my prayer. But unity is not found by letting up on true saints. Unity is not found by saying, well, I can accept people's salvation that don't have all understanding of truth. I can accept their salvation. But there's a difference in accepting their salvation and in opening up the pulpit. There's a difference there. And the devil, I think, has worked, and you young people that have seen some of these things, I wish you would have never had to have seen. You wonder what's going on and what's happening. There are those that have departed from scriptural truths.
I can't accept that leadership. We can't accept that leadership. But we're not kicking them away from the cross. That's between them and God. But we also have a responsibility as a people for those that fill places, for those that lead the singing, and those that teach Sunday school, and those that minister behind the pulpit, that there is a purity and a godly example. It doesn't mean I say, well, if you dress like that, you're not saved. Maybe you are or maybe you aren't. But am I living to set forth an example? This is the place to come to. This is a safe place to live. This is a good example to follow. And if I can't live that way, then I really have no business standing in front. And that's why sometimes the ministers have to make that very difficult place when they say, we love you, but you're not in a position to fill the pulpit, but I can still reach my hand. Because I want them to come to the place where I am. Is that clear this morning? We want to guard. We have a responsibility to guard the flock of God. The Lord gave a commission and a responsibility to do that. But we don't want to become another denomination in the process. We don't want to become another sect in the process. We want to maintain the, not only the knowledge, but the reality that there is one body, and it's by the cross. It's one body. So then, if I see someone that's out teaching and living, teaching salvation and preaching holiness, and I didn't know them and we don't have a common history, does that preclude unity? No, unity's found around the cross. I'd like to read to you something, and it's over in the book of Mark, and Jesus addressed a little bit of this issue. In Mark, in the 9th chapter, in the 38th verse, it said, John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followed not us. And we forbade him because he followeth not us. In other words, they didn't come to Monarch. And I don't understand if they didn't come to Monarch and they're not part of the body of Christ. Do you understand that the application here now? John was troubled. He was troubled because there's someone out there and he's not part of the 12. He's not part of this intimate group of fellowship that we've had. And I take note of what Jesus said. He said, forbid him not. In other words, don't stop him. Don't be a hindrance to him. For there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is in our part. Now there's a lot in that passage, but understand this. He's not talking about all these churches that profess the name of Christ, okay? That's not what he's talking about. He said, come out from that. But when there are those that are out laboring the truth, and just because we don't have a common background in history does not mean that they're not part of the one body that's by the cross. It's what Jesus said. He said, don't forbid them. He said, he that is not against us. Do you realize that most churches today are against us? They're against what we teach. They're against what we preach. They're against the message of holiness. So right there, that would take care of, well, in the high 90% of what we are finding in the religious world. Jesus said, he that is not against us is in our part. People that resist the message of holiness, that's not what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about people that have a true love for God, preaching holiness, but you will find maybe there are a few of the standards that we might say are gray areas that we don't want to live in. You understand what I'm saying? Some of those gray areas that think, you know what, there's a closer place. But when you see people with sincerity and love and devotion, he said, you don't be a hindrance to them. Because they're not, he is not against us. He said, is in our part. In other words, he's part. part of this body. He's part of this body of Christ. And we find that, and I'm going to read to you, if you'll allow me, something Adam Clark said on this. He said, a spirit of bigotry has little countenance. He said, there are some who are outrageously wedded to their own creeds and religious system, that they would rather let sinners perish than suffer those who differ from them to become instruments of their salvation. Even the good that is done, they either deny or suspect. Well, just look on a little suspicion, because we don't have a common history. And he said, because the person does not follow them, this also is vanity and an evil disease. Where do we want the glory to go this morning? What are we trying to build when we go out and witness to the world and preach the message? Are we trying to build up an empire unto ourselves? No. No, I had a group one time, they've been through some of these splits that we're talking about. And they were gun shy. They were leery because they were in a very threatened condition. And they said, so what are we supposed to join? Are we going to have to? And I told them, I said, you be the church right here. You be God's people. You follow the word of God. You get close to the cross. And the Lord, through time, will start working on these other things. So we say, well, you have to join me to be part of the church. No. There's one body. And it's by the cross. And folks, it's beautiful. This enables us to start, and we look around. It's not just these four walls now. I can see people that love the Lord. This is the church of God. And some people, I trust you, some people just, they don't like us to say, well, this is the body of Christ. Or this is, yes, this is the body of Christ. The body of Christ is anyone that's at the cross. And we have a wonderful privilege to come together. Thankful for truth this morning. And holiness. And godliness. And I'm thankful for the body of Christ. And I would that we, Lord, help us to extend our still today in fellowship and in love and acceptance for what that means based on the scripture to every blood-washed one, and that those that labor among us would be shining examples of holiness and godliness and truth, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And I like to close in that 19th verse, Ephesians 2:19. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God. Amen.